And as I said before, Monday is the day when we talk about family issues. And today we have a kind of a difficult subject to talk about, which reminds me that if you have ideas on how to talk to your kids about difficult subjects, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. But we're joined today by Anita Tadaldi. She writes for the parenting blog Ovalina, and she recently wrote an essay that was posted on Motherload about her experience in terminating an adoption. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning. How are you?
So, first of all, let me ask you, what kind of reaction have you gotten to this blog that you wrote?
Well, I didn't have a great reaction. That's probably an understatement. I had numerous comments or emails or people trying to contact me to actually find out specific details with the child, and a lot of criticism. I wrote a column. I mean, I write a column for military families on a variety of topics that always obviously really relate to military. So I've had a lot of people try to go back and see where they could pick sort of inconsistencies or mistakes, you know, that I've discussed in the past. So there have been some personal attacks. I mean, many personal attacks to, you know, my other children, and then trying to figure out, you know, my husband's specific location or job. So that's sort of been it.
You wrote a blog, and in this you described events in your life in which you adopted a young boy and then realized that you wanted to terminate that adoption. What led up to your decision to terminate that adoption?
Well, specifically, I didn't terminate the adoption. I actually placed the child for adoption. So I did a private adoption. I could have done the same thing with a biological child. I did not terminate the adoption, technically.
So the difference would be if someone terminates an adoption, they're giving a child back. They may send it into foster care with the child. Or
I don't know if that's possible. Actually not sure if that's possible. I'm not really sure. I know that, you know, legally I can make a plan with an attorney, with an adoption agency, to place a child with another family. So that can be a biological child or an adopted child. With our specific case, of course, it was more complicated legally, so we both had to, both families used an attorney and had a private agency, so it was a private placement for the child. And when we adopted the child, we were very, I mean, as I said, you know, and as I wrote in my essay, we were very excited to adopt the child. You know, we looked at adoption under different we researched it and thought we were a good family for adoption, despite the fact that my husband is in the military and that I had children, small children. It still seemed like we could offer somebody who needed a home a good home. So we went forward with the adoption, and after a few months, there were some attachment issues. There were issues with development, which David is a pseudonym for the boy, which David overcame, and he made a lot of progress. So it wasn't static, but the attachment wasn't working and the bonding wasn't working. So I reached out to professionals, not just to the adoption professionals, but also to a social worker, a psychologist, to figure out how to, you know, how to move forward. And, you know, I wrote it, obviously the essay leaves out many details, but it was a long process, you know, and it was a very difficult decision because I never thought that I would be considering actually placing this child with another family. And that's what ultimately happened.
Okay, Lisa Belkin, you write the Motherload blog at the New York Times. What about this particular essay why'd you want to post it?
Well, I should tell you I'm at a bit of a disadvantage here because I can't hear a word Anita's saying, but I know her story very well and I can imagine what she's telling you. We're having a few technical difficulties here. The power of this essay was that this is something that happens often. We don't know how often. There are no numbers. But it happens often enough. It has a name. It's adoption disruption. There are social workers who specialize in adoption disruption. And it's not talked about. And there are people who are furious that it's being talked about here on this blog. And those emotions, I think, are the reason to talk about it. It happens. And we need to examine the whys and the hows rather than just pretending that everybody's adoption is happily ever after.
I noticed that there was a lot of negative comments towards Anita, but there was also, as you said, fury with you for daring to put this on the site at the New York Times.
Absolute fury. And I understand the fury. I mean, it comes from adoptees who say, wait a second, are we, you know, used goods that can just be given back? It comes from adoptive parents who say, this isn't my experience. I don't feel this way about my adopted child. And how can you smear adoption with this brush? From where I sit, it's always better to bring in sunlight, and that to talk about this, to talk about the fact that some adoptions go badly, that some parents can't cope, that sometimes the system gives a child to a family that just isn't prepared for the particular difficulties of that child, that's something we need to talk about.
From what I read, from the little that we do know about these kind of situations, many of these adoptive parents don't actually... They remain as the adoptive parents, but they place the children in foster care.
It happens a number of different ways. In Anita's case, there was a family who very much, who first of all had experience with adoption disruption and had taken in a similar child, who had experience with a child with these kinds of issues, and from at least what it sounds like from afar, was a perfect fit. And I think Anita recognized that. I mean, I give her credit for coming forward and talking about this. She has gotten pilloried for it, and it hasn't been easy, and she made mistakes. I mean, she didn't stand up there and say, well, look at me, I'm just a wonderful human being who gave up my child. She stood up and said, this was a mess. I was part of the mess, and I did the best I could to fix it. And in her case, relinquishing this little boy completely was the best thing she could think of to do.
So, Anita, I stand mute at the kind of bravery it took for you to post this on the internet. And I'm wondering, when you could have kept all of this extraordinarily painful experience to yourself, what were you hoping to get at? What were you hoping to get at with this blog?
Well, when I wrote the essay, you know, I've been writing for a while, so I've chronicled or talked about different issues with my, you know, with my family, with myself, and I felt like it was almost, you know, dishonest not to share something that happened, because we started out again with the best intentions. You know, I myself wrote a piece a couple of years ago where I said, you know, I thought it was inconceivable to ever return a child after adoption. So I found myself, you know, I looked at people who did exactly what I did, and I thought they were monsters. So I found myself in that position. And I said, I mean, how did I get here? You know, what did I do? How could I have, you know, possibly failed at parenting somebody who needed a home? And I hoped, I guess, you know, there were certainly factors that may have influenced how tough it was to have a child who had needs in our family. But I also wanted to show other people maybe who needed help that there is help out there. It doesn't necessarily have to, you know, translate into placing the child with another family. And also that probably fostering or having an experience before adoption can really help somebody who's maybe hasn't had that experience before.
Okay, Anita Tadaldi writes for the parenting blog Ovelina, and Lisa Belkin, author of the Motherload blog at the New York Times.
So we're asking you out there, how, as a parent, do you talk to your kids about difficult stories in the news? And this is just one of them that we're talking about this morning. Go to 877-8-MY-TAKE and tell us your story at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
This is The Takeaway.